When you tie a person up in the sunlight, so there are three characteristics that are present at the time that you tie him up. Number one, making this assumption, that the sun is for sure going to kill him eventually. There's no way that he's going to be rescued. There's no way that he can rescue himself. This act that I did of tying him up essentially doomed him. It condemned him, right, to death by sun. That's characteristic number one. My action of tying him up condemned him to death. Characteristic number two, that the object that is ultimately going to kill him is already present right now. That object either is the sun or the heat generated by the sun. But one way or another, the object that ultimately will be his death is present right now when I'm performing my act of tying him up. And the third characteristic is that the process has already begun. He's already out in the sunlight. The sun and the heat are already beating down on him. They're already encroaching on him. And all that I've done by tying him up is ensure that the process will be completed. Okay. Those are the three characteristics. The question that arises is which of these characteristics are necessary lehalacha. In other words, if I remove one of these characteristics from the case, or I create a similar case which has two out of the three characteristics, will the person who tied up this victim be chayiv or will he not be chayiv? So this, I believe, is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rama. What's the machlokas? The Gemara discusses a case where a person ties up his fellow man in front of a lion. The assumption, at least at this point, although there are many debates and Rishonim about this, is that the lion is for sure going to eat up this poor tied up victim. So that factor is present. The lion's for sure going to eat him up. Now, not only is the lion for sure going to eat him up, but the object which will be the source of his ultimate death, namely the lion, is already present in front of both the victim and the murderer at the time that the tying is taking place. So in those two respects, tying a person up in front of a lion is the same exact thing as tying them, right, in front of the sun on a hot day. However, the third factor seems to be absent. Whereas, one who ties up his fellow man on a hot day in the sun is tying him up after the process has begun. In contrast, one who ties up his friend in front of a lion is tying his friend up before the process has begun. So in that characteristic, it's different. And it seems that in such a case, according to the Rama, the halacha is that one is patur. The murderer, the one who tied up his friend in front of the lion, is patur, because it's not similar to the case of the sun. In the case of tying a person up in the sun, so the process that's going to kill him has already begun. Tying him up in front of a lion, the process has not yet begun. Therefore, the Rama holds that the one who tied his friend up is patur. In contrast, the Rama infers from Rashi that even in such a case, the tier, the murderer, will be chayiv. Why? Because the two important characteristics of tying a person up in the sun, namely that he's for sure going to die, number one, and that the object which is going to kill him is already present in front of them, number two. Both of those characteristics are present in the case of the lion as well. The lion will for sure eat up the victim, and the lion is already present when the act of tying takes place. Therefore, for Rashi, such a case truly is similar to tying a person up in the sun. So what that means is as follows. For the Rama, it's critical to be mechayev the murderer for the process to have begun when the act of tying takes place. Whereas for Rashi, it's not critical that the process have begun when the act of tying takes place. So I just want to make a few ha'aros based on this. What exactly is defined as the process of dying from heat, of dying from the sun? So just, it seems, it could be based on my lack of medical knowledge that the human body likes to maintain a constant temperature of 98.6 degrees. When it's very cold outside, so then the body works to warm itself up. But when it goes below a certain temperature, so then the body is incapable of warming itself up in combat of that temperature, which is below, well below zero. So that's when a person dies of hypothermia. He's too cold. His body can't keep up. It can't generate enough warmth to prevent that warmth from being bled out into the atmosphere. So therefore, it goes drops below the critical threshold. The temperature of the body drops below the threshold, and the body ceases to function. And the same thing, assuming that there's no dehydration involved, when a person dies of heat. Ordinarily, the body has ways of cooling itself off. When the temperature is at 100 degrees, the body can cool itself off. When it's at 105 degrees, maybe the body can still cool itself off. But at above a certain threshold, that's where the body ceases to be able to cool itself off. So I would just argue, and this needs to be a little bit investigated, I would argue that the act of tying a person up in the sun, according to the Ramah, would only make the murderer liable if the temperature of the air is over 98.6 degrees. Because otherwise, the process of dying of heat cannot be considered to have begun. Right? As long as the air temperature is below 98.6 degrees, then essentially the person is still cooling down. He's giving off heat into the atmosphere, not absorbing heat into the atmosphere. And it's only when the temperature rises to above 98.6 that he suddenly starts absorbing heat. The process of dying of heat, the process of the body overheating, only begins when the atmosphere temperature reaches 98.6. So that's the beginning of the process. And the same thing, the opposite direction. The same thing, l'cha'ora, going downwards. If the temperature of the atmosphere is 100 degrees and you tie the person up and then it drops to below zero and the person dies of hypothermia, so then you'll be potter because the process has not begun. But if the temperature of the atmosphere is 90 degrees, which you'd be boiling hot in 90 degrees, and you tie the person up, and then it drops to below zero and he dies of hypothermia, l'cha'ora, in that case, according to the Ramah, the process of freezing has already begun. Because the person has begun to give off heat into the atmosphere, and you tied him up to prevent him from moving to a place where he's not going to lose his heat. The last chiddush about hypothermia, one can draw, ask more questions about, but I think that the chiddush about overheating, dying of heat stroke, certainly would be correct. Now, there's another issue that I want to deal with, and that's as follows. The Gemara talks about this case, essentially, of mitzamtzim, of kofes es chaveiro, you tie him up, you prevent him from getting out of the sun, you prevent him from getting out of the water, and therefore he stays there, and he dies, let's say, of heat stroke in the case of the sun. This is the case of the Mishnah, which the Gemara will elaborate on Daf Ayin Zayin. So, the Ran argues that this case is defined not as a grama, but as a garmi. Grama is an important term because it comes up all over Shas. And for the Ran, a grama is something which may happen and may not happen. It's I do an action, but the consequences of that action are unclear. So, for example, a case of grama would be if I tie a person up, let's just take the same case but change the variables a little bit. I tie a person up in front of a satiated lion. So it could be that the lion's going to eat the guy, and it could be that the lion will not be interested in him because the lion is full, and the lion's going to walk away without eating him up. So therefore, the act of tying him up in front of the lion for the ran is a grama, and that's why I would be potter. That's one of the pshatim that the Gemara gives about why tying a person up in front of the lion is potter. Not because the process has not yet begun, but because it's a grama, because there's no guarantee that the lion's going to eat the person. What's not a grama? As long as the result is guaranteed, you tie the person up in the sun, and he's for sure going to die. There's no one around to save him, and he can't untie himself, and he can't survive in the sun for that long. So therefore, the Ran says, that's not a grama, and therefore, one of the ways that he'd be potter is already missing. So the Ran's opinion about what a grama is is when the action has two passable results, only one of which will lead to the chiyuv. However, the Ramah does not share this definition of a grama. The Ramah believes that when one ties a person up in the sun, even though that act of tying will certainly, undoubtedly lead to the death of the victim, it still is considered a grama. And the reason that it's considered a grama is because a significant outside force is participating together with the human, together with the murderer, in bringing about the death of this hapless victim. The murderer himself, by tying up the victim, is not necessarily killing the victim. Rather, it's the participation of the son in this process that causes the victim's death. Therefore, says the Ramah, even though the victim's death is assured, it still is considered a grama because the sun or the heat is participating in this person's death. So that's two ha'aros. Number one is the start of the process critical for the chiyuv misa of the murderer. According to Rashi, the murderer is only chayiv if he ties up his victim after the process began. According to the Ramah. Whereas according to Rashi, he is chayiv even if he ties up the victim before the process began, as long as the other chefza is present and the death is assured from this tying up. So that's one machlokas. Does the process need to have begun in order for the murderer to be chayiv? And then a second machlokas is what's the definition of grama? For the Ran, anything which is inevitable, anything where the result is an inevitable consequence, is no longer a grama, and one needs to come up with some other reason for the person to be patur, as opposed to for the Ramah, even if the consequences are inevitable, it can still be a grama, right, as long as there's a participation of some other force in this act of murder. Now, whether it's called a grama or not may not have a bearing on whether he's chayiv or patur, but that's more to be analyzed for tomorrow. So those are two very important machlokos.